Good morning, Bethany friends and neighbors. Welcome to our Sunday morning worship. This is Pentecost Sunday, so we're celebrating the birth of the church and the arrival of the Holy Spirit among the disciples of Jesus Christ. So we're glad you're with us today. Next week, we are hoping to have a drive-in worship service, and I'll tell you more about that during the announcements, but we hope you'll join us for that at 9:30 next Sunday in the parking lot at Bethany. And right now, we're going to hear a children's message coming from Bridget Crawford.
Good morning, everybody. This is Bridget, and I have your children's ministry for this morning. So you may have noticed that today and the next week is going to be extremely hot. And on a hot summer day, an electric fan can really help keep us cool. I happen to have one right here. How does a fan help keep us cool? What are some of your answers for that? Those are all great answers. And that's right. It keeps us cool by blowing air. I think I'm going to turn the fan on now. Do you see the air coming out of the fan? Well, if we can't see air, how do you know the fan is working? There are several ways we can tell you about the fan is working. One way we can tell the fan is working is that I have tied red streamers in front of the fan. Even though we can't see the air, we can see the air blowing these streamers. That's one way we know the fan is working. Another way we know the fan is working is that we can feel the air blowing on our faces. We can't see the air, but we can definitely feel it. Finally, we know the fan is working because we can hear the sound of the air rattling the streamers. Let's hear it. Can you hear the air rattling the streamers? We can't see it, but we can hear it. Today is an extra special day in the church that we all celebrate. It's called the Day of Pentecost. And here's the story of how it happened. So the Bible tells us on the day of Pentecost that Jesus' followers were all gathered together in one place. And God sent the Holy Spirit to give them power so that they could go out and teach about Jesus. Now they couldn't see the Holy Spirit. So how did they know the Holy Spirit was there? The Bible says that they knew the Holy Spirit was there because they could hear the sound of the mighty rushing wind coming from heaven. They couldn't see the Holy Spirit, but they could hear the wind just as we hear the air blowing from this fan. Then the Bible tells us that they saw what to be flaming tongues of fire that came and rested on their heads. They couldn't see the Holy Spirit, but they knew that the Holy Spirit was there because they could see the flaming tongues of fire, just as we can see the ribbons in our fan. Finally, the Bible tells us that they knew the Holy Spirit was there because they could feel His power. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, He gave them the ability to speak different languages that they didn't even know, so they could tell everyone about Jesus. They couldn't see the Holy Spirit, but they could feel His power of life, just like we can feel the power of air from the fan. The Holy Spirit is with us today. We can't see Him, but we can hear Him as He speaks to our hearts. We can see Him moving in our life, and we can feel the power of His presence as He guides us each day. Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to be our teacher and guide. Help us to listen and obey as He teaches us how to tell others about Jesus. Amen. Happy Day of Pentecost, everybody. Enjoy your day.
you're a good, good Father. True you are, and I'm loved by you. True I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers, far and wide, but I've known we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say your word. You're a good, good Father. True you are, and I'm loved by you. True I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, this love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, you're a good, good Father. True you are, and I'm loved by you. True I am, you're a good, good Father. True you are, and I'm loved by you. True I am, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. You're a good, you good Father. It's who you are, and I'm loved
you
by you.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
It's who I am.
The scripture reading for today is Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment, because one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my...
Well, let us pray. Gracious God, on this celebration of Pentecost, we hear these words about how the first disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we wonder, what was that like? And as we consider what it would be like to have our own Holy Spirit-inspired moments in our lives, Lord, be with us in our meditations. Be with us as we consider what it is you're calling your church to be today. Let my words be your words. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, we are coming to you from the sanctuary of Bethany, but it's strange to be here in an empty sanctuary. A few moments ago, I could hear the cry of a mourning dove outside, something I would never hear if everyone was here with me today. And while I wish you were all here, I'm reminded of by the scripture about what it was like. We consider this to be the birth of the church, when all the disciples were together in one place and things began to happen. And as I think about that, I was considering whether life would be easier if we were all the same. If we all spoke the same language, wouldn't we avoid the many conflicts and rifts that seem to separate us from others, that perhaps even tear at the fabric of our country? And if we were all alike, wouldn't our relationships be easier? If we all shared a common culture, wouldn't we all be much better off? If we were all a little more alike, maybe there wouldn't be this violence in the streets in places like Minneapolis and Richmond and Nashville and all these other places across the country. But at the heart of the question, I think there's a fallacy, because we probably mean, wouldn't we be better off if everyone was more like me? In our heart of hearts, we don't want to be like other people. We want other people to be like us, just like us. And as Christians, we have this hope that we would be indistinguishable from Jesus Christ, that we would have the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, and yet we still want to be very much ourselves. So what are we to do with the story of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit, that God-directed change, blows through Jerusalem? And I want to propose today that there are a couple of problems with this idea of everyone becoming the same in order to smooth out our differences. Too often, Christians have hoped for a time when our differences would all cease, when in Christ we would all be indistinguishable from one another. But I think that's a somewhat misguided impulse. Maybe it isn't our differences that tear us apart. Maybe it is the disparities that do so. Well, Pentecost was one of the three festivals, the three Jewish festivals that were celebrated by people coming into the city. And it was a festival that celebrated God's abundance. And so it happened 50 days after Passover. So that's why it was called Pentecost, Penta for 50. So at the time of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, the Hebrew people were no longer, this isolated group living in Judea and Israel. They have been, because of politics and war and upheaval, spread throughout the Mediterranean basin. They're all in these different countries. They speak different native languages. And now they're gathering together in the holy city of Jerusalem when there is a commotion. The followers of Jesus have gathered in one place. They are sitting in this house, and all of a sudden, there's this sound of rushing wind that fills the air, and our scripture says, divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them, and they began to speak. Our translation said speak in other languages, but really be more accurate to say they began to speak in other tongues. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with these other tongues, and they are speaking clearly, but not as they ordinarily would. God meets us in the midst of our differences and the messiness of our differences, so that although we may eat different food, we may be living in different cultures, that is good news. God breathes life into the places where we worship differently. I think about that as I remember a trip I took to Korea back in 2013. Now, missionaries from Presbyterian and Methodist denominations arrived in Korea on Easter Sunday in 1885. And so they began to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the people of Korea. And they were eventually well received. And so as Christianity and Christian worship began to spread throughout Korea, a distinct form of prayer developed there. It was called Tongsung Kido. And Tongsung means cry out together loudly, and Kido means prayer. So Tongsung Kido means praying together out loud. And this unique form of Korean prayer is an important part of the prayer life and the spiritual life among the vibrant, spirit-filled prayer services that they hold in Korea. And these are often held very early in the morning, starting at 5 o'clock in the morning. And when they come to a time of prayer, there's a prayer leader who starts the prayer, there's music that begins to pray, and then everyone prays their individual prayers all at once. They call out to God in one combined holy exhalation of the Holy Spirit. And so you can feel it in this room where there might be, say, 500 people early in the morning. All of a sudden, it's like hearing the Holy Spirit being breathed out by this collected worship. And it comes out of a very distinct culture. It's an expression of their love of God in Christ. And so I think of that as I think about how God works among us in the midst of our differences. Well, I know that there's been a lot of news about George Floyd and what happened to him. And I was thinking about something that happened to me week before last. I was working in my office at home. Well, I call it an office. It's actually the upstairs guest room. But I was sitting at my desk, and I was answering email. And as usual, I had a glass of water next to me. And so I went to take a drink. And I'm not exactly sure what happened next, but as I was drinking, I read something, and I gasped at the same time I was drinking. And the combination of drinking and that inhale, suddenly, I guess the water started to go down the wrong pipe. And as a reaction, my throat closed. I think that's what happened. But all of a sudden, I realized that I couldn't breathe, that I could only get a little bit of air into my lungs, barely any at all. And my first thought, the place where my brain went, was, I don't want to die by myself. And I have to say, I'm not someone who panics easily, but I was feeling panicked. And so I ran down the stairs. I'm trying to breathe in, and I'm just making this terrible noise. I can't talk because I don't have enough breath to talk. I can't cough because I don't have enough breath to cough. And as I run downstairs, my husband hears this noise. He comes out of his office and sees me, and he says, "What can I do?" And I can't say anything because I can't breathe. And it felt like this went on forever until I could get enough air into my lungs to cough. And then I could breathe again. And I can't imagine what it's like not to be able to breathe for, what, 8 minutes? I think about the Holy Spirit wanting to breathe into us and how breath is life and no breath is death. God wants to breathe into the church and breathe this Holy Spirit into us so that we can exhale God's love. The Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples and they are divinely inspired. Inspired comes from the Latin word to breathe into. When God breathes into us, we are inspired. We know that. But we should ask God to breathe life into us so we as the church can breathe life back into the world in spite of our differences, because of our differences. Let us pray. Lord, breathe into us, whether we are young or old, sons or daughters, free or fettered, inspire us to act and react, not out of loyalty to race or gender or tribe, but from a place of love that desires nothing else but what you will for us. Give us a spirit that wants nothing less than what you will. Nothing more, nothing else. Breathe on us, breath of God, so that Pentecost may happen again and again as we are remade into your holy church, adopted into the family of faith that welcomes all who love Christ the King. Amen. And now we'll go to Maggie and our mission moment.
Hey, my friends, Maggie and Phoebe here for a quick at-home mission moment. So we have come to the end of our Easter season as a church. The past 50 days has been a time to focus on the hope of Easter, the hope that we find in the love of Christ and in the resurrection. And what better way to reflect that love and that hope than by continually supporting the work of the church? And your continued financial giving enables us to do just that. So thank you. This Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and as we reflect on our own baptismal covenant and what that means to us and our faith and our journey and what the church is doing in the world today, we often think of speaking in tongues when we think of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit descending and everyone started speaking a different language. And I think this is a beautiful illustration of the church and its diversity. So while Bethany, the rural country church on a hill, may not have the same strengths, may not speak the same language, if you will, as the inner city church on the corner who's in the thick of it, we are both independently and together working to spread the good news of Christ and to love the neighbors around us. And one thing I love about Bethany is the fact that we are loving and supporting ministries in our community who have different strengths than we do. Organizations such as Kingsway Prison Ministry, organizations such as Young Life, organizations such as Rise with their Rise and Shine program and their WITH program. So even though we may speak different languages, we are all on the same mission to love and to serve our neighbors and to share the hope that is the resurrection. It has been a joy to have you in my home every week, and I miss you all, and I love you. Goodbye.
Well, thank you, Maggie, for the mission moment. So we have a few announcements before we get to prayer concerns. So our plan is that next Sunday we will be having drive-in worship at 9:30 in the parking lot. We'll be transmitting that through a radio transmitter so you can receive that on FM radio. We will be asking people to let us know that they're coming by Thursday of next week, either by email or phone call. And that's a stipulation of the annual conference, and also will help us to know how many people are going to come. And then once we know you're coming, we will email you the song sheet so that you can sing along with the worship songs. And we'll also send you the radio frequency that we're going to be broadcasting on. So I am looking forward to seeing you, even if it's in a vehicle. And so we invite you to come and be a part of that. And you'll hear more about that also in some emails we'll send out. Well, we have a praise this morning. Beth and Tim's grandmother is going home from the nursing home on Wednesday. So that is great news, and just so glad that that's happening. We do have a couple of prayer concerns. I want to be in prayer for Jay Dunsmore, who's in the hospital. And so be in prayer for him. He's having some heart issues, so keep him and the family in your prayers. And also, Anna, one of our food partner volunteers, is continuing to struggle with seizures. So she's a young woman who's been working with Food Pantry for some time. So please keep Anna in your prayers. Do we have any other prayer requests?
No, I don't see any more.
Okay. All right. Well, let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, today we celebrate beginnings. We celebrate the beginning of a new day, of a chance to be church, a chance to get things right once more, a chance to correct the wrongs that we may have committed. Lord, we just ask that you make within each of us a clean heart, ready to follow where you lead, ready to be your people, ready to be inspired by your Holy Spirit. Lord, breathe into us that life-giving spirit. Lord, we pray this morning for those who are dealing with illness and sickness. Pour out healing upon them. Lord, we pray for those who are quarantined in nursing homes, and we pray that you would be with them and know that they are not alone, even though they may not be able to come out and see us or we to go in. Lord, we pray for those who are essential workers, and we pray for them not just in their work and for their safety, but because we often do not value their service in ways that are, well, financially equal to what it is, the importance of what they do. Lord, we are so glad that there are those who protect us, and we ask that you be with them and keep them safe. Lord, you know that right now, that there's not a spirit of peace that's going out. But Lord, help us to speak with one another, to speak the truth in love, to look for justice, to be able to listen deeply to one another so that peace, real peace, might be restored once more. Lord, continue to keep us in love with you. Help us to be a spirit-filled church as we look to the day when we will gather in person once again. But remind us that now we are still the body of Christ in the world. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, you're going to hear a hymn, and as we get ready to go, I look forward to seeing you next week. Amen.
Standing on the
storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. I cannot fall, listening every moment to the story.